for tonight. We're thankful to everybody that was mindful. It kept us from having to preach on obedience. The title of the message tonight is The Fruit of Desperation. And we know that when people become desperate, they lose their ability to make clear decisions. Their thought process is clouded. And they start making decisions that are rash and not always beneficial to them and not always beneficial to the situation. And we find this a lot in the Bible, and there's a lot of scriptures on, you know, that the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight on this. We want you to turn, first of all, to 1 Kings, the 4th chapter, or 3rd chapter, I'm sorry. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. Then we're going to go to Genesis, the 16th chapter, after we get done there. But just to lay a little bit of a baseline first, if you watch much sports, and I watch some, I don't watch as much as I used to, but I watch some sports, and towards the end of the game, if the score is real close, it becomes a time of desperation. Both teams are desperate to win. The team that has the lead is desperate to keep the lead, and the team that doesn't have the lead is desperate to get the lead. All right. So if you take football, for instance, they have what they call a two-minute drill at the last 2 minutes of the game. You know, they have a series of plays that they know they're going to play if they get themselves in this situation, and they practice that, and they prepare themselves for that. In other words, they know that they're going to get in that situation. And it's needful that we practice too. Praise God. It's needful that we know that there are going to be times of desperation in our lives, and what we need to do to combat that desperation, the processes that we need to go through to keep that from, to keep us from failing. Right? And the number one play should be to pray. Number one play, right off the bat. But it seems like that's always our last resort. And we'll get a little bit more into that later in the scriptures, but it shouldn't be that way. It should be the first play that we use, is to go to Him, to take it to Him, and not wait until we've tried every other resource. Because don't we do that? We'll try every other resource. We'll go to this person. We'll go to that person. We'll go to this. We'll go to that. We'll try everything. And then if nothing else works, then, oh, well, I'll take it to the Lord, when He should be our first resource. 1 Kings, 3rd chapter, verses 16 through 28. Very familiar, even if you've never heard the scripture read before, you've probably heard the story. It's about Solomon and a decision that he made. But the story what I'm focused on tonight is not Solomon and what he did, but I want to focus on this woman for a moment. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son, that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword unto before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. For her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be, neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. You may be seated. So we see here one of the first fruits of desperation is selfishness. We get very selfish when we're in a desperate state. And that's what happened here with this woman. She was so consumed with having her way that she had no thought for that child. She had no concern for that child. She had no care for that child. She just wanted to have and to own a child. She didn't care anything about it. She was willing that the child be cut in half so that she could have her way. Can you see what I'm saying tonight? In that our desperation will cloud our judgment. In a normal circumstance, do you think that the woman would have acted that way? Do you think that she would have thought that way? Well, no, not in a normal circumstance. But she was desperate. And she became selfish. She became more focused on what her desire was and what her want was than anything else. Nothing else mattered. And when we get into that state, that's how we are. We become selfish. We want it our way. And no other way matters. And we've got to be careful. We've got to keep ourselves out of that situation. Now, how's the best way to keep ourselves out of that situation? I done told you. Pray. This is not rocket science. I know that a lot of people try to make it out to be. I know that even a lot of preachers try to make it out to be that you got to go through these certain steps in order to get this accomplished. But there's only one step. It's take the first step to the altar. That is the answer to all our circumstances, to all our situations. Sometimes we just don't take advantage of what we have offered to us. This woman, she was conceived, consumed with having this child. And if it meant the child dying, then that was okay with her. See, sometimes in these ball games, like I talked about a while ago, towards the end of the game, some of the players will get selfish. And they're so consumed and so self-centered on them winning the game and getting all the fame and all the glory that they lose sight of the whole team. It's all about me. There's a when I was talking to Mike Perkins the other day, he said that there's a, you know, they, anybody that works in any kind of business nowadays knows how hard everybody's pushing the team atmosphere. You know, team this and team that. And my company sent me to team building classes and so I could learn how to be a team player. And I felt like I was a team player already, but I went to the class anyway because it was free for me. And I got some free food out of the deal. And that's always a good thing for me. I like free food. So I went to the class, but me and Mike Perkins was talking about it the other day, and he said that he's got a guy there, the work company he works for is from England, and you know, he's got that accent, and he said that every time somebody gets up and they start talking in one of the meetings, and they start talking about I did this or I did that, the guy that's from England says, it's all about me, mate! It's all about me! And he calls them out. And we all do that with each other. Oh, look at y'all. Because it's not about me, church. It's not about you. But it is all about Him. Every bit of it is about Him. And He has to be first. We have to put Him first. Even in our most desperate times, we have to understand and realize that He's there for us. And He wants to help us. He wants to supply our needs. He wants to be there to do whatever we need. See, this woman could have prayed to God and He would have taken care of the situation. She wouldn't have had to go through all these steps. She basically kidnapped this woman's child. Then, was not satisfied with that, wanted to go even further. She was willing that this other woman's child die because she was dissatisfied. She was heartbroken because her child was dead. And probably had a little bit of guilt mixed in there too, because the child died. It tells us here in the Bible the child died because she laid on it. So there's probably some guilt. But see, we got to get out of selfishness. We can't think selfishly. We got to think about what's best for God and what's best for His kingdom and uplifting Him and glorifying Him. See, that's why a lot of churches are struggling today, is because they're not seeing the big picture. They're not looking at the big picture and saying, what is the important thing here? The important thing is not building Unity Church. The important thing is building the church. There are going to be people, this is a shocker, I know, but there are going to be people that are going to come to this church, get what they need, get healed from whatever they're going through, and get help, and then move on to something else. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we need to understand that and remember that and not get selfish in it and start thinking, well, why do they have to leave? We want to keep them here. It's important that we all understand that the building and the edification of God's kingdom is more than the building and the edification of Unity Baptist Church. Well, yes, it's glorious and wonderful to see the church grow, isn't it? And I love it, but that's not the big picture. The big picture is the church. And that's what we need to be focused on. And y'all gonna think about that when y'all see the next pastor's pen. Because there's a little bit about that in there. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis, the 16th chapter. Verses 1 through 6. Then we're going to go to Genesis 21. Genesis 16, verses 1 through 6 says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened the voice. I have a hard time with that word. Hearken to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord's judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. Says, And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now we see here another fruit of desperation. Sarah brought every bit of this on herself because she decided she was going to get ahead of God. She was going to do things her way. She decided to be rebellious. I know we don't like to say that word, but it's the truth tonight. She was rebellious. She was stubborn, and she wanted to do it her way. Another fruit of desperation. We got to do it our way. It has to be my way. It can't be your way. It can't be the church's way. It can't be God's way. It's got to be done my way. You can't have that I, me, or my syndrome as a Christian. You can't have it and be successful. You say, well, you mean successful. I don't want to be successful. Well, you want to make it to heaven, don't you? Because that, to me, is how you're successful as a Christian. when you make it. When you step through the pearly gates. Because between now and then, we're just working as hard as we can to get to that position. Right? That's our plateau, if you will. There's a lot of people at my work that want to get to certain positions. And they're always trying to push me into certain positions. And I'm very happy with what I do. I'm very happy. I'm very content just to be what I am at work. And I'm very happy to be a pastor of this church. But there's more for me. And I got to keep pressing towards that. Now, I'm happy with the level that I'm at work. I don't want to go any farther up the ladder. There are some people that will step all over everybody else just to get to that certain position that they consider to be a pristine position. That's a big deal. Well, yeah, it's a big deal. But it also comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of time and effort. And I've got other things on my plate. Right? I can't be distracted by that. Because if it came between my job and what I do for the Lord, what I do for the Lord is more important. And it has to be that way. And I have to put Him first, and I have to allow Him to do things in the way that He wants to do things. Am I saying to you tonight that I never get anxious and want things to speed up? Not at all. Because you can ask my wife. I'm a very impatient individual. You can ask her just in case you don't believe me tonight. All right? Because I know it's hard for y'all to imagine that I would be impatient. Look at some of the looks on y'all's faces. I wish y'all would turn around. But I am at times. And I want things to happen right away. And when they don't, I get a little frustrated and I get a little irritated. And I'm asking God to help me with that. But be careful what you ask for. That's right. Because when you ask for patience, it gets rough. Everybody cuts in front of you. You run into every traffic jam in the city. Right? That's just how it works. The patience has got to come some way. He don't just sprinkle it on you and say, there it is, you got patience now. You have to work for it. You have to earn it. That's anything in the Lord. You have to work for it. You have to earn it. And see, Sarah wasn't willing to be patient. She wasn't willing to work, and she wasn't willing to earn it. She tried to go her own way. Church, we can't go our own way. I learned a long time ago, my way is a bad way. It's a messed up way. Every time that I look back in my life, church, and I see where I went my way, it was just a mess. And it stayed a mess until I got back in God's way and started going in the direction that He wanted me to go. And doing the things that He wanted me to do. Can you see here tonight how that she could have avoided a lot of heartache? Not only for herself, but for her husband. And see, that's just the way that things work out. You know, as soon as we create a mess, we want somebody else to fix the mess. I mean, she went to Abraham and she said, fix this. This is a mess. Well, what are you going to do about this? Abraham said, she's your bomb, woman. You do it. You take care of it. Don't come to me complaining about it. You made the mess. You ever had God tell you that? You made it. You fix it. I've had Him tell me that before. Oh, none of y'all have. I got a couple people shaking their head, yeah. I'm going to shake it until it falls off or y'all say amen. Thank you. Praise God. I'd like to keep this thing intact. But these things will happen. We obtain self-justification, stubbornness, rebellion. All these things start coming upon us because we're desperate. We lose sight of focus. We can't focus on what we need to focus on. Our judgment is clouded. Our decision-making ability is just thrown out the window. And we start making decisions that we normally wouldn't have made. We start making decisions in a hurry. And rash decisions and bad decisions. Right? All because we're desperate. See, if you watch these games and that I'm talking about in sports, you know, that the percentage of throwing an interception increases greatly the last 2 minutes of the game in a close game. Because that quarterback is trying so hard to make something happen that he makes passes that he normally wouldn't make. Basketball players, they're trying so hard to make something happen that they run into traps and they run into situations that they can't do anything with the ball and they can't pass the ball, they can't shoot the ball, they're just dead in the water. They make decisions that they normally wouldn't make because they're hurried in their decision-making process. They're trying to rush things. They're trying to make things happen themselves. Church, as Christians, we ought not to be that way. We can't be in a hurry. We can't make rash decisions. And we can't do things ourselves. We have to trust in Him. Put our confidence in Him. That He's... That He's going to make things work to our benefit. Why? Because He loves this church. And He's concerned with everything that you're going through, every aspect of your life. Our last scripture that we're going to read is in Hosea 7th chapter, verses 8 through 16. It says, Ephraim, he have mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek Him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation have heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction upon them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I abound and strengthen their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision of in the land of Egypt. Things are falling apart. Right? We see here a lot of things going on. We see separation. We see evil association. We see instability. Self-justification. We see how that they're doing everything that they can to keep from going to God with their situation. It says they howl at their bedpost, but they won't come to me. In your most desperate time in your life, in your most desperate situation in your life, your best resource is God. He's your best resource. He's the best thing that you can go to. He's the best thing that you can get in touch with. Are you saying you don't want to talk to me about my desperate situation? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying He's more equipped to handle your situation. I can't handle every situation. I can't handle every desperate need. I don't have the ability to, church. But I serve a man who has the ability to take care of every need that you have. If all of us here together tonight, if all the world together tonight came to Him with their most desperate need, He would still be able to heal them. He would still be able to encourage them. He would still be able to secure them financially. Whatever their need is, whatever their desperate situation is, because He's able. I know what you're thinking tonight. Well, that's easier said than done because you don't know my situation. I'm telling you tonight, it doesn't matter what your situation is. God is able. God is bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than your desperation. God's a big God. He's a merciful God. And He's a loving God. But He's also a wrathful God. And if you don't go in His direction, He won't allow you to go at all. See, it has to be His way. It can't be my way. It can't be your way. It's going to have to be His way. So the next time you're in a desperate situation and you feel like your time is getting short, you have to make something happen right now. Turn to God. Turn to God. Simple advice, ain't it? I mean, it don't get no more simple than that. Bible says that God uses simple things to confound the wise. Sometimes we just make it harder than what it really is. When it really is, church, it really is that simple. Just to take it to Him. Lay it at His feet. And leave it at His feet. That's your evening message. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.